This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Attention, 97.3 The Fan listeners.
If you're drowsy, sluggish, or feeling fatigued, you're about to get your afternoon boost with Tony Quinn Jr.
And my man in the air was like, Larry's gonna kill you.
Chris Ello.
I know what Scraby is thinking, I believe. And that's a dangerous precedent to set.
And Matt Scraby.
Well, this is just great, everybody.
Don't blame us for any side effects.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason.
Quinn and Chris are ready to go.
Welcome in, Quinn and Chris. Tuesday afternoon from the Peoria Sports Complex. Padres taking on the Giants tonight at Scottsdale. So, be some travel involved.
Yeah, good luck, Tony.
Yeah, no. I will be departing earlier.
You might as well be driving straight to San Francisco. I think you'd get there faster than just going across over here to Scottsdale tonight.
Yeah, no. Certainly traffic will be an issue during the weekday. Nonetheless, we come to you guys live again once here at the complex. We got plenty lined up for you. Connor Joe will join us in the first hour of the show. We've got Jason Adams at some point. We got Jason Adam at some point.
Yeah.
We have
Cease.
Dylan Cease at some point. We got Brandon Lockridge at some point. We got T. Wade at some point. So a fully loaded show for our listeners today, plus the Aztecs get to work tonight against the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Oh, boy.
6:30 tip-off, I believe.
6:10.
6:10 tip-off.
Yeah, well, they're playing it on 6:10, and they usually are pretty close to those.
They are.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that one today, and two of the last three national runners-up playing each other. Aztecs lost the championship game in 2023. North Carolina lost it in 2022.
That's right. They
so,
sure did.
I mean, this has got to be the best ever first four matchup. And, you know, I appreciate North Carolina for what they are and what
yeah,
they've meant
to. It's probably not often you'd be able to say that this matchup has a 23 runner-up and a 22 runner-up.
Right.
Yeah.
But and I appreciate everything North Carolina has accomplished and what they mean to college basketball and everything, but
gotta go.
The Aztecs are not getting their due here at all. I mean, they've won seven tournament games in the last 2 years, and people are dismissing them out of this game as if they're just kind of a mini speed bump in North Carolina's way to the next round.
I think I understand it, though. I mean, North Carolina is embedded in our heads.
Yeah, I know.
As a blue blood, and you know, I think for us in San Diego, we know what the Aztecs bring to the table. And I think at some point today, folks in North Carolina are going to know what San Diego State brings to the table. But I understand the fact that they're getting all the pub. I mean, it's North Carolina. I mean, that's kind of comes with it. But by no means does the publicity that they're getting have anything to do with what's actually going to happen on the court tonight.
Nope, you're right. And I think the Aztecs feel like they got a reprieve.
Yeah.
I'm sure North Carolina feels similar. But, you know, this Aztec team sweated it out.
A lot of people upset about North Carolina getting in.
I know.
A lot of people. I mean, at this point, I think one of the governor officials in...
Oh, yes, we talked about this yesterday.
In West Virginia.
The West Virginia governor has his attorney general looking into the selection of North Carolina. So, yeah.
That's funny.
That is pretty funny. But, yeah, I think the Aztecs feel similar. They had to sweat for 3 days after losing that Boise State game. And, you know, the Aztecs, they know how good they can be. And Brian Dutcher did say this morning that Magoon Gwath is going to play.
Yep.
So he's ready. He's in there. You know, that's a huge boost. And, you know, the Aztecs are going to have to play their great defense, Tony, because you know North Carolina's got blue blood name and blue blood athletes out there.
For sure.
So it's going to be, it's going to be a fun game tonight. But I'm excited about the opportunity, and I'm sure the kids are too. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think should be a fun matchup. Meanwhile, out here in spring, how's you guys' day? How's your spring training visit? It wraps up here today after the show. How have you guys? How's your visit gone?
I'm looking forward to getting in the car away from Scraby and driving home tonight.
I didn't do anything to you.
I know you were pretty good.
I've been so nice to you. I went and picked up lunch. I ordered lunch both days. I've been so nice to you.
You've been so nice to me, but driving with you is a stressful thing.
It's not at all.
Let me explain.
It's not at all.
Let me explain what happens, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Please, by all means.
This guy gets to a yellow light, not a, you know, a yellow light, and he's slamming on the brakes. And we are sitting there first up in the intersection, and you know that these traffic lights in Peoria are hella long.
Did you just say hella?
And we've been...
That describes it.
Did he just say hella?
Hella long.
And he used it perfectly. Nice work there, Chris.
Thank you. You've been here 2 days. I think we spent one full day at the traffic light because Scraby won't go through a yellow light.
You're not going through yellow lights, huh?
First off, these are some of the biggest intersections that are out there.
Touche.
They're like at least half a mile long. Now, when you hit the, when you see that it's going yellow and you're not even in the intersection yet, I am not chancing that whatsoever.
Everybody knows that yellow light means speed up.
No, that's actually
it's always meant.
It's caution.
I will say that is how they treat it here in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yellow is a speed up and go.
It's ridiculous.
Even if it is partially turned red, they are still blowing through those lights. That's just kind of how it works out there.
Well, Chris is sitting in the car, so I stopped. And he's like, "Oh, well, we're going to be here for another 3 minutes."
Yeah, it was three minutes.
At least 3 minutes.
The punishment is me being in the car with you for three extra minutes.
Right. I mean, it's both ways. It goes both ways. Cuts both ways. I look 3 minutes, but like 10 times.
Right.
So that adds up, and that's my whole thing. That's time we're never getting back. Spend it, you know, level
we gotta get
lights
through,
that you won't
get you
go through.
These lights, man.
Now, Tony told me that I probably was making the right move.
Yeah, I did. I did tell him that, having been an experienced driver here in Arizona.
Well, he's trying to avoid an accident, but what he's not avoiding is the person behind us slamming into us because he stopped so short.
I was going to say, Chris then countered my point with a very good one, which is that you can get ran up on the back of you if you hit those brakes. Especially on a baby yellow light. With a baby yellow light, it just turned yellow.
Right.
I didn't stop unless I saw the yellow before I entered the intersection.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And then yesterday,
not accurate.
So yesterday, Chris and I are waiting at this light, and I'm like, actually, I'm going to go straight where it's green. And so we're waiting at this red light, and then I get in the intersection, and of course, it turns yellow right in the middle of the intersection. I'm like, screaming as I'm going through.
He's trying to be a rule follower, and we already know he's not a rule follower. He lets his dog run around without a leash all the time.
Will you?
You are not a rule follower.
Will you leave that out of it, okay?
Well, we've had a really fun day to answer your friend 2 days to answer your question, Tony. It's been a great trip, and thanks to Craig and to you and to everybody else in the Padres PR department We've had some great interviews, and we've got some more coming up today.
We have a contingent of people.
I was going to say
around the bullpen here.
It seems like we have a all of a sudden a breaking story going on. What's happening over there?
I don't know if it's breaking, but there is a. There is someone in the bullpen that's not dressed in uniform.
That everybody wants to see pitch.
And I only am paying attention because I see AC and Dennis Lynn over there. And, you know, this is around the time that Mike Shildt will come out to have his presser. So that's the only reason why I got up is because I saw AC and Dennis over there. And then I asked Sam to go take a look, see what's going on. So he's going to come back and let us.
Sam will report
back. Is he
going to
yell
us
at you when he gets back? Because that guy is grumpy, let me tell you.
I mean, he hung with you all last night. So, I mean, maybe
I'm a pleasant human being.
Maybe there's a correlation there. I'm not sure.
I am a pleasant human being.
Pretty sure there's a correlation there. I was up early, though, today, like before the crack of dawn. I actually saw the last three outs.
Of the game, yes.
The Dodgers over the Cubs, putting the Padres immediately a half game out of first place in the NL West.
Now, the Dodgers, I don't believe, had Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts.
Yeah, we know Mookie Betts wasn't going to play, but Freddie was a last-minute scratch with some sort of stomach ailment or something, so he didn't play.
Enjoying Japan a little too much, huh?
Yeah. And
yeah,
they put Kike Hernandez over there at first base, and Kike looked like Keith Hernandez. He's picking balls and making great plays, and Tanner Scott came in and closed the game out for the Dodgers, so they are 1-0.
My old friend Tanner, huh?
Yeah, old Tanner Scott.
He looked amazing.
He blew them away in the last inning.
Their bullpen, I don't think, gave up a hit in the last four innings.
Four or five innings. Yamamoto started. He pitched well, and Shohei had a single and a double to delight the fans there in Tokyo. But, the Major League Baseball season is underway officially.
I'm glad it looked good for him on game one. We'll see how the rest of the game goes.
Couldn't have been happier for the Dodgers. But, they got one in. But, I'm excited about this, the couple of days we've had here. And, having Connor Joe on in a little while. I mean, this is – he's an amazing story. I don't think people – all know the story, Tony, of the cancer that he has beaten, right at the beginning of his career to be diagnosed with that, and for him to come back and now be playing in his, for his hometown team. I know you're going to like that interview. It's coming up. Dylan Cease will be on today, as you said, and Jason Adam. And Brandon Lockridge, Tyler Wade. It's been a good couple of days.
We've had a good couple of days.
So,
real quick, my Lakers are back rebounding after a couple bad losses on the road.
Is the NBA still going?
You know
it
what,
is.
Guys?
We're going to have to end this segment. Mike Shildt's on his way out to do his presser. We don't want to be the loudmouths while he's doing it. So we're going to get to break. When we return, more Gwen and Chris on the other side.
All right, Gwen and Chris underway for a... I was here. I was reading something.
I always know that he's paying attention. I almost think he wants us to think he's not paying attention.
I was trying to gather some information over here. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby on the back patio at Padre Spring Complex here, Peoria, Arizona. Tony will be heading on out to Scottsdale here in a little bit. It really is a long drive in the traffic of the Phoenix area. He and Jesse will be broadcasting the game, which actually will be carried on the station tonight following our show at 6 o'clock. Padres and Giants. But we had some great interviews for you coming up, including Connor Joe in this hour. Mike Shildt just came out for his daily little quick press conference with the assembled media here. And he laid on a little news that isn't all the greatest thing in the world, Tony, about Yu Darvish. Now, he had said yesterday that Yu was feeling a little fatigue, and he expanded on that a little today.
Yeah, sounds like a little inflammation he's dealing with right now, and he was able to get through catch today. So, that's not always two things that go together. Typically, you're feeling inflammation, they typically shut you down. For you, who's dealt with this before, it seemed like he was still able to get through catch. They're going to play it day to day. Now, that being said, I imagine they're going to want an endpoint to the inflammation part, right? And they're going to, and so, I think, I think it's good that he's not the opening day starter because that buys him more time. He's likely not going to be the number two starter. That buys him at least another day there as we go through the first time in through the rotation. But I would say that his start, whenever that is, third day, second day, fourth day, is probably in jeopardy a little bit. So
yeah, and we Scraby and I talked about this just a little bit yesterday with Yu Darvish. I mean, you want him ready opening day. But when you really want him ready is in September and October. And the good thing about Yu Darvish is he knows him, his body, his arm, probably as well as, if not better than any pitcher in all of baseball. Because Yu Darvish is a master at getting himself ready to pitch, getting himself ready to compete, knowing what he can and can't do. So if he has to miss a couple of starts in April, yeah, I'm going to be all right with that. That's not guaranteed, but I'm just saying if that does happen, I just want him ready to, like, shut out the Dodgers in October like he did last year.
I think ultimately it's not just about September. It's really about him getting through the season.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to need
some
starts from him. I mean, you're not going to just be able to just keep him, you know.
No, you're right. You can't just,
September.
Hey, come on, let's go.
You're going to need him season, but you're going to have to help him. I mean, He's dealt with some elbow issues, shoulder issues, in his stint here as a Padre, and so I think the Padres are well equipped to be able to manage this the way they are. Now, I think the question that was posed to Mike Shildt by Kevin Acey was how he felt about the depth, and Padres do have some options, some guys who are throwing the ball well here, at least in spring. Stephen Kolek, he's going tonight. He's a guy that has been impressive, as has Hart been impressive, according to Mike Shildt.
Kyle Hart, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle mm-hmm. Hart. So
the lefty.
They have more depth than I think we initially thought coming in the spring.
They still have Vasquez.
I was just about to say, they still have Vasquez. And apparently Matt Waldron, who had kind of been sidelined a little bit with an oblique, it sounds like it is turning out a lot better than they initially thought, meaning they thought this was going to be typically what an oblique takes, but I guess the first 48 hours have been in such a way that they're feeling a lot better about it. Now, he's not throwing yet because they want to make sure that they don't have a reoccurrence, because typically, as with the hamstring, you get a reoccurrence with the oblique. It's a lot longer to return. So they're not going to press the issue on it, but they are encouraged by how he's felt in the first 48 hours of that.
I'm always taken by the oblique injury, because I don't think your dad ever had an oblique injury. He may have had a hip injury. He may have had a muscle around the hip injury, but they never called that an oblique. It's something a little newer.
Well, I mean,
but now everybody seems to get one.
I think players are just are way.
You get an oblique.
You get an oblique. Yeah, I never heard that until the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think players are just way stronger and can get enough torque in their side, whether it's throwing, it's hitting,
okay,
than they ever have in the past. I mean, just think, the game was a lot more contact based from a swing standpoint in the 80s, early 90s. It changed mid 90s on. And that's when we started hearing about obliques, when the swing became a more power-filled swing. We got guys throwing harder than they ever have. So I think all that kind of coincides with it. But nonetheless, it sounds like Waldrum is a little further along than I think initially thought.
Mr. Sam Levitt came over and let me know that if you want to see the full comments from Mike Shildt, you can go to our Twitter page right now, at 97.3TheFanSD, and it's up there for everyone.
What a self-serving note from Sam Levitt.
No,
he just wants people to watch his video.
That was for the listeners. Well, every video from here comes from Sam Levitt.
That's right. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. That's good. Yeah, you can definitely hear everything he said. So you can make up your own thoughts on what he said about Mr. Darvish. That's not the best news of all.
No.
We'll just have to deal with it.
It is the type of news you get during over the course of 162, though.
Or before 162 even starts.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the way it goes. I mean, Padres will figure out a way, as they have over the last couple of years when they've been hit with preseason injuries, I guess. And
yeah, well, look at the Dodgers. Before they even played one game in Tokyo, they lost Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman.
But this goes back to something you said last week. And it had to do with the injuries. And this is why teams go out and sign more guys than
they
spots
need.
For.
Yes.
Because inevitably, as you get into the competition, one, if you're lucky, perhaps more, get hurt.
Right.
And then those spots, now the idea that you have to maybe, you know, put somebody on waivers, release somebody, kind of goes out the window because you now need those arms. You now need those bodies. And as you said, it's probably going to clear itself up sometime before we get to opening day. And sure enough, you got a few injuries on the board that have likely opened up spots for guys that were maybe headed to El Paso.
Scrappy, you thinking conspiracy or something untoward about guys going on the injured list? Are you just accepting it at face value? Because you don't ever do that.
I don't think I have much of a choice, but I think that certain injuries, I'm not saying they're faking anything.
No.
But Darvish, I mean, they don't need him back until later in the year. So maybe the injury isn't as bad, or maybe he's not as sore, but I have no qualms so far, Chris.
With what they're doing. Yeah,
yes.
Because they've got, I mean, we've talked about it. They've got 7, 8, 9 guys even competing for the last 4 or 5 roster spots, non-pitching roster spots. And it's going to be very interesting to see who wins those battles. And if any of those guys are put on the injured list so that, you know, you don't want to have to part with these guys. So that might be the only other option.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that works out. Cardinals have lost their shortstop for a little bit, Mason Wynn.
Oh, what happened?
He's got wrist soreness. Scratched from the lineup today. So maybe nothing too serious, but we'll see. Milwaukee Brewers deciding today that Joey Ortiz was going to officially move from third base to shortstop to replace Willy Adames there. The Brewers have been thinking about moving Bryce Terang over. I didn't know that Bryce Terang, did you know this? He was the Platinum Glove winner last year in the National League.
At what position?
Second base.
Really?
The Brewers' second base. That's the award that Fernando won a few years ago.
See,
as the best fielder in the whole league.
And this is good, this is my point. You know, for those who like to kind of, you know, poo-poo the voting on Gold Glove, there, back in the day, a guy like Bruce Terang could never win a Gold Glove
right.
in the 90s.
Because he wasn't a big enough name.
Because he wasn't a big enough name. It just goes to show you they are putting a lot more kind of data into how you get a Gold Glove, how you get a Platinum Glove. I think that's awesome. A guy like Terang should have a chance, if he is that good, as apparently he was, to win a Platinum Gold Glove. A Platinum Glove, not Platinum Gold Glove. That would kind of
Platinum Glove.
That would be kind of sweet, though.
Like platinum,
half gold. Yeah. Make the strings on the glove gold.
But the whole idea is the platinum is better than gold, so you want the kind of
gold
glove.
You make a gold glove, and then you put platinum over it so that you got both.
Don't you get two gloves if you're the platinum glove winner? You get the gold glove and a platinum glove. I bet you get two of them.
Maybe so.
Did Fernando win the gold glove when he won the platinum? Can you win the platinum glove and not win
the
gold glove?
No, the platinum glove goes to somebody who won the gold glove.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yes, it goes to somebody. You have to be the best defender anywhere in the league. But in order to, you know, win that, you have to at least win your position gold glove.
Yeah.
So that used to be Arenado's thing. He used to get it every year, the platinum glove. But then Fernando jumped in there, and now it's Bryce Terang. Who knew?
Who knew?
I certainly didn't know until I saw the update. Now, did you guys see it? Did either of you see into the Dodger game or just highlights?
Absolutely
or
not.
Nothing.
I saw highlights.
Scrappy, you're not up at 4:45?
Not about
did you
to
watch
wake
any
up.
Of it?
Yes, I told you. I saw the last couple of innings.
That's
yeah.
Nuts. That's nuts.
I am nuts.
That's
but
nuts. What time was that?
Here's the thing. You guys will get my age someday. You just wake up now. I hate to tell you. And, I didn't set an alarm.
Well, that's a good thing that you wake up.
I just woke up. I was ready to go, and I said, wait, the game's on. I'm going to watch it. And, the Cubs just got – they had no chance. I don't even know if the Cubs are – people are, like, talking about the Cubs like they're going to be good this year.
Yeah, I've had –
who do they have? I mean, I don't even know. They use their rookie third baseman, Bush. No, Michael Bush batted cleanup.
He's their first
at first base.
Yep.
The rookie was at third base.
Shaw.
Shaw's not ready.
Yeah.
Not for the Dodgers, at least. I mean, he was...
I've heard that sentiment a couple times a day.
He looked overmatched. He looked overmatched to me.
The Cubs will be all right. They got Tucker. They got...
Kyle Tucker.
They got Swanson.
That's all.
That's not it, Chris. They have Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah, Seiya.
That's all.
Oh, and they got the Pete Crow Armstrong.
He's not ready either.
No, stop.
He's ready, Chris.
Yamamoto whipped a couple past him like it was a piece of cake.
Why are you acting like me? This is the first game of the year.
I'm overreacting. It's the only game I've got to talk about.
Overreaction Tuesday.
It's the only game of the year I got to talk about.
I was not about to ruin my sleep schedule for the next week. Thanks for coughing into the microphone.
I'm sorry.
I was not about to do that just so I could see.
Thanks for coughing into the mic. You're such a jerk.
I mean, he was like, like into the mic. Like he was trying, but it was still into the mic. I don't understand it.
You just slide it up next time.
Yeah, you can go like this. Sorry, everyone.
I think a good producer would have a cough button nearby.
We're like, what in what world do you live in that you're gonna have a random cough button on remote at a picnic table?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get something.
I thoroughly enjoy being around you two. You guys make me laugh.
We are crazy.
And I get 2 days with you guys next week before the season starts. Off Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be in studio those 2 days.
All right. I can't believe that the season starts Thursday, next Thursday.
That's really insane that it came around so quick.
It is crazy. I'm ready for it.
I'm ready to live out a suitcase, guys. Let's do it.
You are?
No, I'm absolutely not ready. But
I was going
to tell myself I am.
Well, that's the right attitude to have, especially when you're about to take about, I don't know, 60 flights in the next 8 months or something like that.
Don't forget Tony Gwynn Jr., not necessarily a fan of flying.
Nope. That
but he has to take that many every year.
Just relax.
Trust me. Nice little margarita gets you right to relaxing. And
this is random, and I know we need to get to break.
Yes.
But did you know the margarita is the most popular drink in America?
Of course.
What would it beat out? Like, what would beat it out?
I don't know. I never really thought about it, but I was watching my guy John Taffer on Bar Rescue the other day, and he was telling me that the margarita is the most popular drink in America.
Makes sense.
I cannot think of a time that I ever ordered a margarita.
That's because you were going Long Island iced tea. You wanted a lot more alcohol in there.
Yeah, that's true. I just wanted the bottle of tequila. I didn't want the rest
of it. You didn't need to play around with these fruits and stuff. Just get me the straight thing.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
All right, Tony's gonna head to Scottsdale, but he's with us throughout the show with all of our interviews. We got Connor Joe first up, and I tweeted out a little bit ago. It just turned out really good, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you don't know the whole story of Connor Joe, listen up. If you think you know it, listen up anyway, because there's some stuff in there that you may not be aware of. Really good stuff with the Poway native when we come back on Gwynn and Chris. All right, welcome back to Peoria and Gwynn and Chris from Padres Spring Training, day two of our two-day stay here in Arizona. Tony Gwynn Jr., as mentioned, on his way to Scottsdale, which is far, and made that much further by... They have awful traffic here. I'm not trying to be, certainly not part of the Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, but I mean, I don't know how people live here, man. It gets hotter than anything.
Hotter than anything.
Yes, in May, June, July, August, I mean, 110, 120 traffic. Sorry. I think spring training's fabulous, but I'm glad we're getting back to San Diego.
Well, now you know
after
why.
After the show tonight.
Well, now you know why I wasn't, like, going through the light all crazy. Because there's bad drivers here, Chris.
There's bad drivers everywhere.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think you're right that Arizona has some particularly bad drivers.
Really? Okay.
When we were coming here, though, you and I were talking about this yesterday, but the people on the road are absolutely insane. Are absolutely insane. I was going maybe 85, Chris, and I had someone behind me,
yeah,
like pushing me to go 150.
I know.
It was ridiculous.
And you want them to go around you, but they'd rather tailgate you.
And then when they do go around you, then they slow down in front of you. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
I don't get it all. But we'll just, you know, you just got to try to survive it. That's it.
You do have to try to survive.
And we got like, you know, 5.5 hours going back to San Diego tonight. So we'll do our very best and come to you from the Odyssey Palace Studios tomorrow. But here in Peoria, like I said, it's all about the Padres. It's all about spring training. And Connor Joe is from Poway, right? I mean, he's a local kid. He went on he tells us in this interview, but he went on a tour of Petco Park once. Bruce Bochy was there as the Padre manager, flipping him some pitches, some underhand pitches to hit in the cage. He ends up going to USD. He ends up making the majors, and he debuts with the Giants playing for Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
In Petco Park. It's incredible.
You know, one thing you forgot about this story.
What?
It was the same day Fernando debuted.
Debuted
on the same day.
That I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not remember that. Yeah, Connor Joe debuted here with the Giants in San Diego. Then he went to, ended up with Colorado, Pittsburgh, and now he's come home. And, you know, you put all that together with the fact that he survived cancer.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed in March of 2020.
Not
just
a great time.
Yeah, right. That's when the whole world shut down, right?
Yep.
Yeah, March of 2020 was when he was diagnosed. He had it beaten by July of 2020. I mean, it's incredible. And now, you know, here's Connor Joe. He's got a whole new lease and look on life. And I think you're going to find his interview that we were able to do with him earlier entertaining and inspirational as well. And our spring training visits continue here with Connor Joe, a Poway High, University of San Diego. And after a couple of stops in San Francisco and Colorado and Pittsburgh and now with the Padres, Connor, is that as cool for you as it seems to all of us?
Yeah,
absolutely. That you're now a Padre?
Yeah, it's every kid's dream to play for their hometown team. And
yeah,
my hometown happens to be San Diego, best city in America. So, absolutely, it's a dream come true for me to be here.
Connor, I heard you talk a little bit about it not necessarily being about the destination. You kind of were out in free agency looking for the best fit. You've come in, and how have you felt like you've been able to kind of blend in with the rest of the guys here in his clubhouse?
Yeah, absolutely. The free agency process was really about like picking the best opportunity for my career, my family. And then as it got down to the end, like obviously having San Diego in the mix, there was a couple teams at the final decision. And, you know, it was hard not to be really intrigued by San Diego, right? The opportunity was really good. Like the fit was good for me. And then also just the ability to be at home and play in front of the San Diego fans. Like, I know how electric the stadium is and stuff like that. So all those factors make this really exciting and something I'm really happy for. As far as camp going, it's going really well. I think getting the first couple of weeks, you get acclimated and you get to know the guys, obviously playing against them. You get to know them a little bit, but it's always different when you get into a clubhouse and you get to know them on a deeper level. The staff, it also takes a little bit of a learning curve for that as well, like how their coaching style is. And, you know, I'm trying to teach them how they can help coach me. So it's, you know, so much conversation early on in camp. And then as you get that kind of ironed out and get a feel for everyone, it's pretty, you know, status quo as far as getting yourself ready for a championship season.
Connor Joe, Padres outfielder, first base, DH, and we're looking forward to a little of all of that. Correct me if I'm wrong. You made your debut at Petco Park, though, with the Giants, right?
Yeah.
So, this is always coming back to San Diego
circle, right?
For you, right?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about where you were that day. I remember that game pretty well. It was opening night or second night of the season. You're out in the outfield. And where you were then, where you are now.
Yeah, thinking back at that, it feels like, man, a lifetime ago. Everything was moving so fast for me. I had the whole spring training. I was a Rule 5 pick. So for people that don't know what that is, it's a stipulation where you get Rule 5, you get put on the big league roster, and you have to stick with that big league team, or you get offered back to your original organization. I was with Cincinnati in camp. They made a couple trades, which made it really hard for me to see like a pathway with that team. As it came down to the end of camp, I got traded to the Giants with a week left. So, like, Wow. Starting the whole process of, you know, getting to know people's names. I didn't know people's names going into the season. Really cool story about that was Bruce Bochy was able to tell me that I was going to make the opening day roster and debut in San Diego. I grew up watching Bruce Bochy. Took a tour at Qualcomm Stadium with my dad where Bochy was tossing to me in the batting cage. A lot of full circle moments for me in my career, but everything was moving really fast. Like, I didn't know that I was going to be starting opening day. It happened to be, I think, facing Eric Lauer. So I was starting in left field. Like, didn't really know how to be a big leaguer. Didn't know how to prepare myself for a game. Didn't know how to read scouting reports. And so everything was moving quick. Long story short, I got, you know, I think it was a couple weeks with the Giants, got DFA'd, sent back to the Dodgers. So now where I'm at now, I know myself better. I know how I can contribute to a team, how I can contribute to a locker room, what I offer to a team. I just know myself better. I'm more mature. I know how to read a scouting report. I know how to I know how to filter information that can benefit me. I know how to filter out information that is too much. I'm just in a lot better place. I know how to simplify the game, and I see the game in a different perspective, I guess.
It's the closest thing that you feel to naked on the field. When you go back and you've had the kind of experience that Connor has, you look back at that time and you just think how little you actually knew. And it's kind of remarkable that you're even in the big leagues at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Connor, you've obviously had to deal with some tough situations. You dealt with the cancer. You're able to beat that. And, you know, all while trying to figure out who you were as a big leaguer. I mean, at what point did you start to feel like you were turning the corner into what you could offer a clubhouse, how you could help a team best with your skill set?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And as I look back at my journey and career, you know, it's cancer happened for a reason. And I think after my cancer battle, my journey, I became a better person, a better man, a better husband, which in turn helped me become a better baseball player. Like that journey.
Yeah.
I learned so much from baseball before that helped me go through that journey. And then I learned so much from that journey that helped me become a better baseball player. So like, it's like stages and layers and layers. But yeah, I know myself better. I see my priorities are in line. Baseball is still extremely important to me, but, going through cancer and being a survivor, it's like there's other things other than baseball. And baseball doesn't define me, right? Like who I am as a dad, who I am as a husband really defines me. And that in turn took a lot of pressure off me on the baseball field. Right. I still pour into baseball. It's my passion. I love it so much and I'm extremely dedicated to it. But I was able to separate baseball and then also life away from the field, which is just like freed me up mentally and
for sure.
It's amazing.
I mean, you know, you go through something like that, an 0-for-4 day doesn't sound as, you know, as stressful, right? Yeah, you know,
yeah, so exactly.
We're visiting with Connor Joe here. All right. This guy is, you know, he is Mr. Poway and his life and the Gwynn name, but he's also in the Poway High School Hall of Fame. What do we have to do to get you in there?
I don't know. I mean, come on.
He's on his way. I can tell you that.
Come on.
He's well on his way.
Please open up a spot for him, will you, Tony?
I mean, listen, I don't get a vote in this. I was just excited to be a part of it. But again, as I said, Connor is, he's doing it. I mean, he has put together a fabulous career to this point, and he's still got a lot of time left.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go off the board, and I hope I don't put you in a tough spot. But you played last year in Pittsburgh, Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is amazing. But unfortunately, in San Diego, he was up against Jackson Merrill for the Rookie of the Year award. So we were always kind of glancing an awkward eye toward Paul Skeens. And now you're getting to know Jackson Merrill. Talk a little bit about, make us like Paul Skeens a little bit more than we do in San Diego, because we're not fair to him here. We really aren't, you know?
Yeah, I know. That was a really fun race to watch, you know, those two guys doing their thing. And Paul's an ultimate pro. And as I get to know Jackson.
That's a rookie, too, by the way,
well.
He said. You know, he's an ultimate pro. That's
right.
That's
really
a huge compliment.
Yeah, yeah. But as I get to know Jackson, like he he's the same way, and he carries himself the same way, and he works like a pro. But Paul's great. Like, what you see on the field is what you get, and then away from the field, he's true professional. I mean, he's got the military background in his family, so like he knows how to carry himself. He's respectful of others, but he also knows how to like contribute to the clubhouse, and he's not just like shut off to himself and to himself. Like, he's got so much attention and so much publicity throughout the whole year, and he really knew how to handle that and not let that divert him from his work on the field. I'm a big fan of Paul. I got to know him really well, and really impressed with what he did. Obviously, seeing Jackson, you know, on the highlights, it's like, man, he definitely was the rookie of the year as a offensive player. It just was unfortunate that he matched up with Paul in the same year.
Yeah.
Connor Joe joins us here, Powegian, USD, and now a San Diego Padre.
And by the way, Tony doesn't normally allow USD interviews because we're both Aztecs. You're making an excuse because he's Poway,
he's
right?
He's Poway first, right. Connor, you know, spring offensively got off to a little bit of a slow start for you. You're bouncing around, playing different positions, which is nothing new for you. Over the last 2 weeks, though, that has changed. You have started to swing the bat. You're using all fields. The thing that I enjoy watching this team as you guys start to put it together is there's a team approach to this ball club. It's what gave them so much success. You guys seemingly are just trying to work to add to that this year. How have you been able to get going offensively? I know, obviously, it takes some time to get your feet under you, but it's been a noticeable difference in your ABs and your swing over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think there's always like a progression to spring training, how it's structured, right? Like, hitters are always going to be behind pitchers. That's just the nature of the game. So it's like early on, it's really, you got to be able to get feedback from your at-bats in the right way, right?
Like, right.
It's not necessarily just about the hits or just about the numbers. But yeah, like, as I ramped up and got into the routine and how I wanted to take at-bats, I've been really happy with the past couple weeks. Victor is really big on preaching, like, Petco Park hitting. So for fans, Petco Park has historically played more pitcher friendly. And I think on the offensive side, they brought that to our awareness. And Petco Park hitting is basically like gap to gap hitting. Past year, I got really one sided and really pull happy. And I think coming into this organization and being around Victor, McCoy, all the hitting staff, it's like they've opened me up to becoming more hitterish and like more of a complete hitter using the whole field. So yeah, it's been great. And to get around these guys, to hear how they're talking, like, the superstars are here, right? Like, I'm just trying to compliment them and be a small part of it and learn from these guys. So yeah, gap to gap hitting is who I am. That's how I'm going to produce numbers, right? Like, everyone wants to hit homers and those are great, but like, you can also slug by hitting doubles, right? Like, OPS is great. And there's so many different ways to OPS. So the past couple of weeks has been great because I have been driving the ball the other way. And that's something that I got away from last year. And that's something I'm capable of. So I hope to continue that.
Last thing, Connor, we really appreciate the time. This question comes from a pair of very jealous people here.
Okay.
Your hair is incredible. So you talk a little bit about, you can't help but notice it, right, when you see this guy play.
I mean, anybody who can, like, wrap it up, put it in a bun, they're already winning.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. This is going to be you going forward? Do you ever see going short?
Oh, man. You know what? It's kind of when I was going through cancer, and I did lose my hair the second round of chemo. As it grew back, it was like, I don't know if people know, but like when you go through chemo, as it grows back, it's like super curly. And my hair right now is super straight. It's always been straight my whole life. So like, as it grew back curly, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, maybe just let it grow. Then I signed with the Rockies, and you know, there's like 1,000 mullets over there started by Charlie Blackman.
Right.
So I was like, I kind of fit in here. So kind of just kept on letting it grow. As I cut it, it straightened out, and I kind of just wear it as a badge of honor, right? Like, it's kind of like,
that's great.
I lost all my hair. I went through cancer, and now like, as it's growing back, it's like, I just wear it as a kind of a badge of honor, which is kind of cool. I probably should take a little bit better care of it other than just rinsing water through it and putting some pomade. But I love it. Yeah, it's me.
I think it's going to be something now. Every time I see you, I'm going to think, you know, about what that all stands for.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a great thing. Yeah. Connor, thanks so much for the time. Great for me to get to meet you. And you'll have a great season with Tony. And yeah, we wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. That's fun.
Thank you, Connor.
Yeah.
Good stuff from Connor Joe. Really good stuff from Connor Joe. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, lost all his hair going through chemotherapy. And now he wears a – it's kind of – yeah, I'm jealous for sure. I mean, he's got amazing hair.
You're jealous?
Yeah, come on. Look at the guy.
He does have amazing hair.
He does. And but, you know, look, he says he wears it as a badge of honor. And I totally get that, having gone through what he went through.
Yeah.
And, I mean – you get diagnosed, I mean, cancer's hard enough. How about testicular cancer?
At his age.
At his age. And, you know, now he's you know, real advocate and getting out there and reminding people to get checked and to stay on top of stuff. And, you know, so it's something that's become – and as he said, you go through something like that, an 0-for-4 day doesn't seem – quite as bad.
I know. I need that perspective at times because I don't have it at times.
I don't either. None of us do. You know why?
Because we haven't been through it.
Well, no, because we all play fantasy sports and we need 4-for-4 for our statistics.
That's true.
We are so selfish when it comes to watching baseball games. We don't even care who wins these games as long as our guy hits a couple of home runs.
Yeah, I don't care if the Bengals beat the Cowboys 56-7.
Right, in football.
How many yards did Jamar Chase get?
That's right.
All I care about.
That's all we care about, and it's funny because it's the last thing any of them care about. So, anyway, really enjoyed meeting Connor Joe.
Would you draft yourself if you were a professional athlete? Because I know that Maurice Jones-Drew always drafted himself.
I don't think I could even play. If I
really?
Was a professional athlete, yeah. I don't think I could do that.
You wouldn't do your own sport. Would you do other sports?
Yeah, I would think maybe for fun.
Because I think Josh Allen drafted himself because he talked about it after the 49ers game where he threw a touchdown pass to himself, basically, when Amari Cooper.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
He got a touchdown pass and a receiving a touchdown on the same play.
And he was happy with
himself
for that.
He was happy because he had his fantasy. He had himself in fantasy.
All right, 1 hour's down. We got a whole bunch of fun interviews still to go. Brandon Lockridge, Tyler Wade in the next hour. Also a little Daily Gambit. Look ahead to tonight's NCAA basketball tournament.